Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of February, recording at 9:22 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Well, this is quite a volatile day here. Let's start with a quick review. First, the Asian stock markets were hit fairly hard. Again, I think this is about Libya this time. It's certainly the focal point of concerns and news items, and we had some big hits. China down over 2%, the Hang Seng down over 2%, Nikkei, which has been such a stalwart performer, down 1.78%. The European stock markets, which are sold off quite sharply yesterday, had smaller declines. The UK was only down 0.3%. A couple of them down, two or three stock markets down about 1% there. The Americas were weak, not least the USA. We've got the NASDAQ closing down 2.74%, the S&P 2%, and 1.4% on the Dow. Brazil down 1.2%. That's pretty much the order of the day on the stock market. So weak, a little bit off the lows towards the close on Wall Street. The long-dated government bonds firm in the USA. Long bond is up 1:19.32. That's taken it up to 1:20.26 so sort of in the middle of the prior trading range. We had the other long-dated government bond markets firmer as well. The U.S. dollar, it's fairly quiet, actually. The U.S. dollar index is up a little bit, and we're currently at 77.79. The euro 136.52, sterling at 161.33. The Aussie dollar slipped back to 0.9988, just below that parity level. Now, some big hits in the commodity markets, some very big hits in the commodity markets. First, the grain and bean complex limit down across the boards. More on that in a moment. Among precious metals, platinum and palladium were hit quite hard, down over $50 each. That's a big move for palladium. And gold and silver, they're going to buck the trend. Silver is at 33, just over 33. Gold, while down $8, is at 13.98 and change as I speak. The industrial metals were sharply lower. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, oh, crude oil. How could I forget that? I haven't forgotten it, fortunately. NYMEX crude is currently up 7 and change. It's at 93.57. It has been almost a dollar higher, but it is very much on the higher side of the trading. Brent, I think, had a sort of a steady day. Let me just check that. It's up 50 cents at 106.28. In the after hours trading. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I said a moment ago that this was mostly about Libya, which of course, unlike Egypt and Tunisia, is a major oil producer. And it's one where Colonel Gaddafi is promising an all-out attack, and that he will not go out, or he'll go out, only go out as a martyr. And that's a wish that he may well see answered. Because apparently, I haven't really been able to follow the news briefings all that much. I will when I get home. But Evidently, much of the country is out of control, or out of his out of the government's hands. That's you could say out of control as well, but definitely out of the government's hands. And this is by far the bloodiest of the uprisings to date. And to that extent, it's quite tragic for the people involved. Now, for the markets. The concern is what actually happens with Libya's oil production, which I think is about 1.6 billion barrels of oil a day. And unfortunately, it's not a matter of Gaddafi and his sons either fleeing or more likely being carried out, because there's no government structure there, really. What you have is a loose alignment of tribes, which have been rivals more often than allies. So there's a possibility that there'll be quite a scramble for control of the various different oil wells, and that represents a threat to production. It's not a threat that OPEC would not be capable of offsetting should they choose to, but it may well be in their hands if it comes to that. And of course, the uprisings that we're seeing in the Middle East have not run their full course by any means. But this is the focal point of attention here right now. I think we'll probably get some form of leadership change. Fairly quickly. I would have thought Gaddafi's position is quite untenable, but what actually happens to the oil wells, as I've already said, that's another matter. Now, so stock markets are obviously taking fright at this prospect. I think the more vulnerable of them are in the West. And now that may sound counterintuitive because everybody's been talking about how well Wall Street's doing, and indeed, we've been talking about how well Wall Street was doing really since it began to went from a relative underperformer to a relative outperformer in late November, and a position that it's held right on up until today. But it is overextended relative to the various U.S. indices are overextended relative to their medium-term trends represented by the rising 200-day moving averages. They look really primed for some mean reversion towards those moving averages, whereas some markets have already seen, particularly those Asian markets, India, they've already seen mean reversions to the MAs, and therefore. They're less crowded with short-term money. So I think what we also saw today was a bit of a flight to cash, particularly among the more speculative vehicles, and we may see some of that to continue. I mean, this is the sort of situation where it's, the news developments are changing on a frequent basis. It's going to be nervy and volatile for a while here yet. But it's not all the developments are bad by any means. For instance, in recent months, we've seen a considerable and I think healthy correction from overbought levels among the Asian-led emerging markets. We've also seen that, and are still seeing it among a number of the Central and South American resources markets. And today, we saw significant downward dynamics in these in the grain and bean complex. Limited only by the fact that they went limit down and could go no further today. But that may well have blown the froth or started the process of blowing the froth off this market. I think it's the selling that we saw here today is testimony to the amount of speculative money that was in those markets. And now, so that I don't get carried away here, what I will point out is that first, let's talk about what we know technically. We saw, when you look at those charts, you'll see some big downward dynamics. Those have capped the rally for at least the short term, in our view. To seriously question that hypothesis, we would have to see closes back in new high ground. And I think given the dynamics, that would not be all that easily achieved. The fundamental news is still bearish, but a lot of that has been discounted by prices. So there is scope to lower prices by the speculators cashing up as we were seeing in here today. Now, the other point I would mention on this technically is that downside follow through tomorrow, and it would have to carry through the close. I would expect the markets to open lower, these grain and bean markets to open lower. But if they close lower as well, that would tend to reaffirm my hypothesis that we have seen peaks of at least near-term significance. And if we were to get a significant correction here, that would be good news overall for the emerging progressing markets, because those are the ones that have suffered the most from food price inflation, because food is a higher percentage of per capita consumer spending. And those countries are already finding inflation pressures from the strong growth that they were actually seeing. Now, to put this in perspective overall, I do maintain that we're still very much within a commodity super cycle, as I have really for the last decade. But these things seldom move all at once. There are ebbs and flows, and there's a rotational sequence of moves, and the grain and bean complex, along with a few of the other agricultural commodities, really has made the running over the last few months. And so it would hardly be surprising if it saw quite a significant pullback during a period when the crop news is a little less crucial, certainly in terms of what's actually going on in the West. Now, so I say there's a fair chance that that will happen and provide some respite in terms of the agricultural commodity inflation. I have to take the headset off and have a little wee cough here in just a moment. Sorry about that. Must be all the excitement. Now, platinum and palladium, just their weakness here today shows that in investors' minds today, not all monetary metals are equal, because silver and gold have held up better. Again, I think they're all in overall secular bull markets, but it wouldn't be surprising if we saw a lull in the action overall, given the downward dynamics that actually occurred here today. So what I feel is that there's a reasonable chance that commodity price inflation could become less of an escalating problem, and perhaps we could even see that subside as a concern somewhat, with a very, very big if proviso, and that concerns crude oil. So if crude were to continue to spike, obviously that would be a serious problem for, I think, global stock markets. This will not catch any subscriber by surprise. because it's something that's just been mentioned daily for months. Commodities go back a number of months are described as an interesting opportunity, as one of the best plays available for people, but they would also become the next big problem. And well, that's exactly what happened. And the one that the obvious beneficiary among commodities from these uprisings in the Middle East, if beneficiary is the right word, is crude oil, which it remains and has been very strong in here in the last few days, in contrast to its sort of gradual ranging staircase type of advance that we had been seeing. Now, for crude oil to spike higher, I think we will need to see at least chaos among the Libyan oil fields and fear that other oil fields are also going to suffer. Now, OPEC has stated today or yesterday, maybe both, that they were ready and willing to pump additional oil if there seemed to be bottlenecks in the actual supply. Libya would qualify, but what they were also saying was that if this was just speculators bidding it up, that no, that they would be less inclined to act. Well, I think we're probably going to get some of both, and certainly there are some speculative longs in that crude oil right now. So that's the big one to watch here right now. My guess is that these agricultural commodities are going to get at least a shakeout, and that will also probably apply to a number of the industrial commodities as well. Put the big question mark over crude oil. Now, if the Libyan situation quiets down, if we get a change of government and without raging battles in the oil fields, then again, that would help in the oil markets, help to cap price rises there. And what we can absolutely be certain of is that in Libya and any other Middle East country, these people will want to go on selling their oil. And therefore, the chances, I think, are reasonable that we avoid a really serious oil crunch. But we have to keep our fingers crossed on that because the Middle East uprisings, as they have not run their course in here, and nobody on the planet knows exactly how all this is going to plan out. But if we get a setback in the food price inflation and some of the industrial commodity price inflation, and if oil does not spike upwards, and I think this is a reasonable prospect. This is not just whistling in the dark. That would be okay for global stock markets, and I think it would enable the secular, I beg your pardon, the cyclical bull trend to continue. But first, expect some mean reversion on Wall Street. Expect more volatility, more turbulence, more uncertainty over the short term. Now, if any of our favored Fuller Money themes or whatever else you might well like, if any of those markets get hit hard, well, against the background of the ongoing, what I feel are the background of the ongoing cyclical bull markets, any sharp sell-offs would provide a good opportunity to increase long positions, in my opinion. Just as we always emphasize, when you get markets racing higher, that's the time to be taking some money off the table, taking some profits in those sectors. What else to mention here? These long-dated government bond prices, I think we've seen quite a bit of short covering there. Not my own short covering, for better or for worse. Well, for better, for worse, I should say at this stage, because had I closed all those positions down, then I would be able to have booked those profits and reopened them up at these levels. I said yesterday that I wasn't going to close them out after we'd already seen most of what I suspect is the technical rally we're likely to get. My view right now is that I'll wait until I see some sort of downward dynamic and then possibly come in and increase my short positions in the U.S. Treasuries. other points to mention, what about currencies here generally? Well, I think it's interesting that there hasn't been a flight to the U.S. dollar. We can interpret that one of two ways. Either the dollar is not seen as the same safe haven that it has been on previous occasions, or that investors are relatively calm about all these changes that are taking place in the Middle East. And I think it's a bit of both, but maybe tilted towards the latter. And what I would also say is that when you get political shocks of this nature, and I don't think anybody was talking about the kind of uprisings that we've seen a month ago, or certainly very few people were. My observation over the years is when we see political shocks, that markets can be, we'll get volatility, but they can be fairly resilient against that background. In other words, we don't get meltdowns. On the other hand, if we get a financial crisis, particularly if it's a financial crisis with global reach, that really is serious because investors know instantly that that's going to hit corporate profits and hit them hard, depending on the extent of the financial crisis that's unfolding. So I just want to make that I want to point out those contrasting backgrounds. The shock political crisis development is almost invariably less important, or its impact it dissipates much, much more quickly than with an important financial crisis. And on that note, well, what an exciting day. A little bit more exciting than most people, including myself, would have wished for, perhaps. But that's all part of the game, isn't it? Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.